Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers and alongside me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's good to be back to our usual Tuesday night slot.
Good, good. Right, so we're going to start with something not necessarily Peterhead related, but it is in a way. Big news came on Saturday night. Early Saturday evening, Falkirk dismissed their manager, Ray McKinnon, as well as his assistant. It was a decision that maybe wasn't too big a shock, considering where they were in the league.
No, I think, like you said, it's not a big shock. I think it has been coming the last couple of weeks, Falkirk supporters. They've been voicing their opinion on social media as well. They and I've been pleased. And the boards, this is, they've taken the decision to relieve him of his duties.
You're right that they've been pretty vocal about him, even after the first game against us, the first game of the season.
They won him sacked.
They won him sacked, yeah, and aye, because they thought 0-0 against Peterhead was a bad result. They are in a bit of a mess. McKinnon took over in August last season, got them relegated. They're now sitting fourth. They were lucky to get a draw on Saturday. A late penalty got them there. As you said, the fans weren't too happy with the way things have gone. It's just a mess all around at that club at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're still struggling from getting relegated last year. They've took in quite a lot of players in the summer. Maybe it just hasn't quite worked out as well as they'd hoped. But that comes down to ultimately McKinnon and his coaching staff trying to get the best out of the players. In my opinion, in this league, they should be, you know, they're one of the favourites. They should be comfortably walking the league with no disrespect to the other team. So I'm not surprised that
if you remember the first game of the season, and we got the team sheet and we looked at their team, every player that they had in that starting 11 and the ones on the bench all played in the Premier League
yeah,
or
that's
played
right.
the Championship. So the good quality players, a good experience. So there's no reason, or rhyme or reason, why they shouldn't be can clear 10 points clear or 12 points clear at this stage of the season.
Yeah, there's something just snake quite right there, but obviously they've decided to get rid of McKinnon, so they'll be looking for a bounce back.
So the ramifications for Peterhead is that coach David McCracken has now left and has gone back to Falkirk, and he's taken over as an interim coach along with Lee Miller. So it's going to leave a bit of a gap in the coaching ranks at the moment, but we're not really too surprised that he's going back, really, ever.
No, certainly not. He's a former captain, 116 appearances for Falkirk. In his words, it's too good an opportunity to turn down, so when the opportunity came for him, he was never going to pass up.
And the fans, straight away, after Falkirk had sacked McKinnon, were pretty much throwing their names into the hat, saying that that's the two that they wanted.
Yeah.
They're both fan favourites from their times there, so I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. We shouldn't be too surprised either that McCracken's gone and to another team to be a coach or to be a head coach, whatever it is that you want to call it, because his attributes is there and his coaching that he's learning would determine that that's what he was going to be doing at some point. Maybe not the best timing for Peterhead standpoint, but
no, it's maybe come quicker than we would have liked. But at the same time, you can't hold him back from doing what he wants to say. Obviously, Falkirk, I think that was a big attraction as well. Had it been maybe another club in Scotland, he might not have taken it. But the fact that it is Falkirk as well probably weighed heavily on him.
Yeah, but it's a strange kind of situation because he's left the club. He's gone to Falkirk as an interim, but Peterhead are leaving the door open for him if he doesn't get the job full time. That it's a bit of a strange one, and it just kind of shows you how detached maybe the football world is to sort of reality. Because if you or I did that to our work and said, right, I'm going to want to start this new job, but in case it doesn't work out, can you keep my job just in case? That wouldn't work out, would it?
No, I think on the flip side to that, it just shows you how well he's respected by Jim and the people at Peterhead. Obviously, they think that if it doesn't quite work out for Falkirk, they can only obviously understand the reasons why he has left. integral part of our coaching staff. So if it doesn't quite work out as well as David would have liked, then he's respected enough that he could come back later on.
And it might not work out for him in terms of now taking over a sort of full-time role, because if we've got a full-time team trained 3-4 times a week, he also still has his job outside of what he was doing at Peterhead as well. So maybe that kind of things would come into his consideration before actually making a full decision. And obviously, if Falkirk are going to appoint them, it will depend on their results coming up in the next few games.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a decision that's made very quickly. I would have thought the Falkirk board will weigh up the pros and cons. They might want to get somebody with more experience, because they'll be absolutely desperate to get out of this division the first time at Usk. And I'd imagine they would be thinking when they went into the season that they should be winning the league. They'd have what a fluff about, I would think, with promotion playoffs. So, again, that could come into their thinking as well. So, David might be back. You never know.
You never know. His first game, along with Lee Miller's in charge, is the Scottish Cup game, which is televised on Friday night. So, there might be a lot of expectations on them. There might be a lot of unnecessary TV stuff to deal with. They might have preferred just a game, a 3 o'clock on a Saturday league game, just to kind of fly under the radar a little bit. A little bit added pressure for them on Friday, maybe?
I would have thought so. It's like you said, it's one of them games that there's going to be expectation on them to win, which puts more pressure on them. So it could backfire. They probably would have liked a game just to come in, a home game perhaps, to get 3 points on the board. But Linlithgow, I think it is, on Friday night.
Linlithgow, they're playing,
You know, they'll be up for the game. They'll be thinking they can get out Falkirk and, you know, try and capitalise on the bit of a mess that's going on there. So not an easy game to go into.
But they've got quite a good record in the Scottish Cup in recent years, so for taking scalps, shall we say. But so we'll wait and see what happens. But we wish him well anyway. We wish him a great deal of success.
But not against us.
But not against us, because we know what I say, because Falkirk come back up to Peterhead in January, I think it is, at some point. So we'll obviously still play them in the league, hopefully. Maybe he's not there full time, we don't know. But anyway, his last game as a coach was on Saturday. It was such a drab affair that he resigned and went to Falkirk.
maybe
that's how bad the game was, I don't know. So Montrose game, we last week said we were expecting goals. Although we did joke and say that, because you said it was going to be 3-2 and it would be a stick on
0-0. I don't recall saying that.
You said a stick on 0-0, didn't you?
And I also said I thought it would be an entertaining game. Far from it. It was a drab affair.
So it was a stick on 0-0, which was what we got. So the one change that Jim made was the enforced change. Gary Fraser picked up an injury. And my first thought was, when Fraser was going to be out, I thought, well, we'll keep the same shape, bring in Aidan Smith, play him on the left, Conroy plays in the centre, and nothing changes. However, he brought in Derek Lyle and he played a 4-4-2. Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did, because it's not very often that I think Jim plays the two of them up top. I think their movement, as we've spoken about before, is quite restricted, given their ages and history. So, yeah, I'd have preferred Aidan Smith to have come in myself as well, but obviously he went with Derek Lyle coming in.
So, the game itself, is, as I said, is pretty drab. There wasn't much to kind of write home about. Obviously, Gary Fraser being injured and missing in midfield, I think, was a big loss. You just kind of sensed that there was that lack of drive and creativity which was needed from somebody like him.
Yeah, he was a big miss. We're quite like Brown, Fraser and Ferry in that midfield trio. You take one of them out, it just, you lose something. You know, they all complement each other well in midfield. So it was a disappointment not to have him starting.
They both kind of cancel each other, really. We said that during the game. Jim said that in his press after as well. It was two teams that were, well, obviously, Montrose had won 6 in a row, Peter had won 2 in a row. You'd expect that a little bit more. I would have expected more from Montrose themselves as well. Didn't even have a shot on target. for a team who'd won six in a row, which is quite strange.
Yeah, but I thought we sort of nullified them pretty well. You know, obviously they didn't get much efforts on goal, but I think that's because we sort of snuffed them out. We sort of matched them up. It was, yeah, it was a drab affair. It just, you were waiting for it, for something to happen to spark the game into life, and it never happened. I think it got to about the 60th minute. We sort of looked at each other and thought, you know, you could sort of see the way the game was going. It was going to peter out. Nobody really wanted to sort of make a change and properly go for it. It was quite stale. It wasn't boring, but you know, it was just, it was predictable. You could see what was happening.
I think the with Lyle and McAllister playing as a partnership, you're not going to, as you said, you're not going to get a great deal of movement out with them. They both are pretty similar. They both want to be the sort of focal point, as in, like, the long ball comes towards them, they want to hold it up. So when they do that, they're expecting somebody to be running off them. That didn't happen. The changes that it was made, obviously Brown come off injured, Fraser did come on, and then Smith come on for Lyle, and then he went back to that sort of 4-1-4-1 or 4-5-1, whatever you want to put it. Things did change slightly, and Smith was a little bit more attacking minded.
Yeah, he was quite direct once he came on. I think the first couple of minutes he got the ball, he got the ball out wide, and he played it backwards, and you could sort of hear a little bit of murmuring in the crowd. The second time he got it, he took the defender on. He got a ball across, it didn't come to anything, but that was what you were looking for, that sort of direct effort on goal and attacking the fullbacks, because when they were there to be gotten at, had we just taken the game by the scruff of the neck a bit.
Because quite often, when Leach and Conroy were playing out wide in the 4-4-2, they tended to come in into the centre. They were looking for the ball, so there was no natural width. It got kind of congested. So yes, when Smith did come on, there was a bit of a difference. And he obviously playing on the left, he was right in front of us. We were screaming at him to take on the fullback, because as we said before, in weeks gone by, he has the beating of most, if not all, fullbacks in this division. I think he just needs a confidence now, because he hasn't been playing in the last few weeks. So he's been sitting on the bench, and maybe he, again, just needs to find that confidence in himself again to go and beat the defenders, because he can do it.
Yeah,
and he doesn't want us shouting at him every time he plays a home game. But again, that just comes to game time.
Yeah, if he gets more games, or he gets a chance in the first team, then that confidence will come, and he'll feel he's got the beating of the defenders every day of the week. Hopefully, that will come in turn.
But as you said as well, he did get a couple of crosses in, but there was nobody there. Again, it was just that kind of final, maybe the final ball, or just maybe somebody anticipating something from him. And getting into the 6 yard box, or looking for knockdowns for McAllister and such, but yeah, it did kind of drag on a little bit. I would say as well, and you're going to disagree with me here before I even say anything, but Jason Brown got the man of the match, the sponsor's man of the match, I should say. There's a couple of occasions that he picked up the ball and was driving forward, and I think you're going to disagree with me, because I did hear you during the game, but I like that kind of thing from a centre half. He's got the ball, he's looking, nothing's happening in front of him. You need somebody then just to try and change the game, just look for something. You'll disagree with him, because you maybe didn't think it should be him.
When I'm looking for someone to change the game, I don't quite, there's a centre-back's not the first person that jumps out of my head.
No.
I feel that potentially you can leave yourself open with your centre-half coming forward. I'd like prefer that to ping a pass into Simon Ferry, let him, Brown, Fraser, let them be the playmaker, so to speak, pick the passes. Centre-half, to me, just bide there and defend.
But the fact that he's taking the bull by the horns and actually wanting to make something happen...
Yeah, fair play
It's fair enough. But I wouldn't have just want him to do it every game, because I suspect he might get caught in one or two occasions. A game like that where nothing's happened, fair enough, go and do it. But the you brought up Ferry there, but with him not playing in that sort of sitting role, as he has normally been, he did kind of look a little bit more lost as well. He wasn't able to pick up the ball and dictate the passes, dictate the play. So maybe, again, maybe back to the next games that we're playing, get him in that role. Just let him dictate play.
He's good at it.
Yeah,
Just let him do what he's good at.
So then you go back to the whole thing of why change things in the first place.
Yeah.
I know we'll praise him for playing two up top, because sometimes you want to go a little bit more attacking, but if a formation and a style is working, then I change it. Just keep it as is.
If it ain't broke, don't.
Don't fix it.
What I would say, sorry, is obviously a couple of weeks ago we could have potentially lost that game, but going into the Wraith game, if you'd say we'd have gotten 7 points out of Wraith, Clyde and Montrose, we'd have probably bitten your hand off. So although we're looking at it a slightly negative aspect that we didn't play well and we haven't won the game, the positive is it keeps the run of three unbeaten going.
But then that's how maybe we're looking at now, instead of saying, oh yes, that was a point. We're actually saying,
we're disappointed we haven't won it against the informed team as well.
Aye, yeah, exactly. But then, where do you go then from that? Because we've gone from last week speaking about the best performance that Jim's seen, or best 45 minutes he's seen as a Peterhead manager, to then going probably one of the worst performances, I wouldn't say worst performance, but a really, really drab. Again, it's about that consistency again, isn't it?
Yeah, perhaps the slight change of formation, we just touched upon that a minute ago, if it ain't broke, don't fix it sort of thing. It's, I can see, obviously we played really well last week and we've struggled this week. I'll put that down to also the two up top. Like you said, there's maybe a time and a place for it. I'm not sure that was the game to have to, but then hindsight's a great thing.
But then does it also show as well that if we do get injuries in the centre midfield, that we are short?
I think it is an area that we're short of, even with everyone fully fit.
Yeah.
You look at the bench, you think, it is potentially an area that we might struggle in, and if injuries do come up or suspensions, then it is an area that we struggle.
And for maybe some of those thinking, well, it's 0-0, maybe Montrose came up and looking to play for a draw. I don't think they did. I think they were... Early on, they looked as though they were up front and playing, I guess, the way they have been in the last six games. They were quite happy to play quite an open game.
Yeah, I think up until that hour mark, both teams were trying to create chances in the game. But like we said, sort of cancelled each other out. And then after that hour mark, you could sort of see that both teams perhaps were settling for the point. Neither team wanted to really go and commit and then potentially lose the game. But I don't think they came up and sat back. They've only run a six wins in a row. Confidence probably sky high. So I can't imagine their team instructions was to sit back.
The disappointing thing was obviously not getting the 3 points was that Clyde weren't obviously playing in the league. And Shinra were getting beat as well. So you just kind of felt that it was probably a missed opportunity to get more points on the board. I know Clyde will have a game in hand, but it's that old adage of you'd rather have the points on the board rather than try to play catch up. So it was just kind of all around just slightly disappointing, I guess.
That probably sums up the game. Yeah, disappointing.
There's nothing else really for it. Which then kind of leads us on to next week. We've got a Scottish Cup game against the Wraith Rovers. This is the third time we've played them.
Yeah. Not a great record.
No. 7-1 on aggregate down there, I think it is. It's not great. However, obviously, last time we did play them, we won 2-0. So, what are we expecting this time around then?
Well, as we just said, we're brilliant against Clyde and then disappointing against Montrose, so it's a case of what Peterhead team's going to turn up. It's probably not the tie that either team really wanted when the draw was made. They're sitting second in the table. They might be focusing more on the league, obviously with the current situation at Falkirk. That might go in race advantage as well. For us, we've conceded quite early the last two times we've been doing. So I think we need to try and play our way into the game first 15, 20 minutes, keep it tight. If you do keep it tight and you're not giving Wraith much of a chance, fans might get on their back. Anything can happen, but can I concede early? Because once we do, we're going to struggle, but Wraith are leaking goals as well. They're winning games here and there, but they are conceding quite a few goals. I haven't kept a clean sheet in about seven games, I think it is. So, if you play your way in the game, if you do get a goal, even an early goal would be brilliant, but you never know what could happen.
Their form at the moment, they've won the last six out of the last 10 games. However, two of those have been in the League Challenge Cup, one against Elgin, one against Glenavon. So if you take those games out, they've only actually won one of the last five league games. So since they've gone top, they've struggled.
Seems to be a pattern.
That's the pattern, yeah. Whoever goes top seems to struggle. So we'll see what happens with Airdrie in the coming weeks. But yeah, again, we've been saying this week after week. It's a league that everybody can take points off each other. It is a cup game as well. So you can maybe afford to be a bit more expansive, maybe a bit more risky, take risks.
I would think so. I mean, it's one of them games, obviously you don't want to get heavily beaten, but if you go there and attack and you lose 1-0 or you lose 4-0, you're still out of the cup. So you'd rather go down and have a go and try and progress, and if it doesn't work out, you know, are we expected to win when we go down to play Wraith? Probably not.
Probably not.
We've spoken before when we play them in league duty away from home. It's like almost like a free hit. You've got that again on Saturday.
It's a plastic pitch that they've got down there.
Yeah.
Which then brings up the Simon Ferry debate. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Because after that, there's the two games against Forfar and Shinrar, which are key games in the league, as we said last week. So you don't want to be going down there getting unnecessary injuries, I guess, in the run-up to these next two games.
Yeah, don't risk them.
Are we not risk them?
No. I'd much rather we kept them for the league games coming up than the game on Saturday.
So, with that being said then, if he's not going to be risked, supposedly then Gary Fraser doesn't get risked either. Although he did play much of the second half because of Scott Brown's injury. You don't want to be risking him on another plastic pitch and then being out longer again.
Yeah. I guess Jim will need to see in training what like Gary's feeling, but hopefully he'll be back and be able to play on Saturday.
So if you're not playing Fraser or Ferry, changes the tactic slightly again, doesn't it?
Yeah, because obviously we just said a few minutes ago we are a bit light in midfield, and if you don't have them two, you would think there would need to be a change somewhere along the line.
A possible back three or a back five, would that be the thinking?
I don't really fancy the back three away right, if I'm being honest. At the same time, a back five might be too defensive. It's certainly a conundrum that I'm thankful we don't have, and it's Jim's.
Aye. That's why he gets bite today.
Yes.
Aye. So we'll wait with bated breath and see what a team he does go with. I guess we need to kind of look and see, well, do we prefer to carry on and get a win and get the money spinning draw in the next round, or do we think, well, if we're out, doesn't matter, concentrate on survival in the league?
To me, it's survival in the league. Race almost like a free hit. Again, I just said it a few minutes ago, it's a game that neither team probably really relish when the draw came out. I'm sure Wraith probably didn't have fancy after getting beat by us a couple of weeks ago, although it was up at Balmoor. But yeah, to me, you want to have a go, try and get through, but if we don't, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. So do we make predictions? Do we not make predictions? Because it's a cup game. So we'll say
predictions have been really good this season so far.
So we'll go with scores and we'll just say we're going to go through or not going to go through. Because of course it could be a replay. Do you fancy a replay?
Not particularly, because it's an extra game to play. But at the same time, I'd fancy our chances more at Balmoor against them than I would down there. So yeah, to me, if we get a replay, that's a good result.
On a Tuesday or a Wednesday night up here, I think we'd probably fancy taking them. So best case scenario, I guess, is a draw and we get a replay.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, another 4-0 hiding.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
That's pretty much it.
In a nutshell. So, on that positive note, we'll end it there for another week. Thanks very much for listening, as always. And we'll see you all again next week. Thank you. Cheers.